always locked on heat. Biscayne, South Beach, Goldberg and Ramil, talking heat, body chill. Got the stats in the news, got the facts and the views. Never know what they gon' say. Mailbag on a Monday. Pat Riles got the pack ride. Coach Spo got the know-how. Three bands in the raps now. Heat Nation, that's a packed house. Heat talk at the game time. Heat talk every day. I'm always locked on heat. Got it locked on heat. Always locked on heat. Keep it locked on heat. Seat geek for the cheap. What's the day got the heat?
And now, your locked on heat hopes. Wes Goldberg and David Ramil.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a writer at the Step Back and Miami Heat Tip Off magazine. My usual co-host, David Ramil, isn't here today, but I am joined by the editor of AllYouCanHeat.com, Alana Tahauer. Alana, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm great. We are going to...
Ready to talk some Heat basketball?
Yes. We're going to recap the Heat's brutal loss to the Cavaliers. We're going to talk about Bam Adebayo's breakout game, Dwayne Wade and UD's touching moment after the game, and debut a new segment featuring Alana. But first, today's show is brought to you by Draft, daily fantasy sports that is simple, fair, and fun. Use the promo code LOHEAT and get a free entry after you make your first deposit. Check out our Twitter account, at Locked On Heat, for instructions on how to join our league and play against me during tonight's games. It's a $5 entry, and only 5 spots are available, and so you got to join quickly. All right, the Cavs beat the Heat 108-97. Look, the Cavs are on a 9-game win streak. It broke Miami's 3-game win streak. But, Alana, what was your overall takeaway from the Heat's performance? Spoelstra, after the game, and the players, they talked about a lack of effort. Was that what you saw? What was the reason to you why it was basically a blowout?
I mean, first of all, I went into the game with, like, Dion-level confidence. Like, I legitimately thought we could beat them. So it was, like, an extra hard loss for me because it's not even like I was braced for it. So I just... My whole thing is that now I feel like they've switched their third quarter problems into the first quarter, which I guess in a way, like, better work out the Kings sooner. But then they have this habit of just getting so behind, and then they're just playing catch up the whole rest of the time. And I don't know if I necessarily saw lack of effort. I mean, besides from maybe Hassan Whiteside, which I guess has been kind of a theme lately, but the shots just weren't falling. They played good defense, I thought, even throughout their offensive struggles. But I don't... When they're just cold, they're cold. Like, there's nothing they can do.
Yeah. That's interesting that you bring up the third quarter struggles, kind of switching into the first quarter, because last season, especially when the team was 30-11 through that second half, the starters would oftentimes play the opposing starters to a draw, and then the bench would come in and kind of take the lead. But right now, it does seem like the starters are just getting beaten by the opposing starters, and the bench just doesn't have enough firepower to just overcome a deficit and then take a lead. But look, I think Kevin Love coming out, scoring 22 points in the first 9 minutes. Whiteside was yanked early because of that, because Kevin Love is the Cavaliers' starting center. Seems to be getting more comfortable in that role. And look, we know that we know Cleveland is a better team. Cleveland's just a better team, and they were at home. The Heat were on the road, and that's why they lost. They lost to a better team on the road, and you can't really fault them for it, and you can't really be all that disappointed in it, even though I think a lot of Heat fans like you were confident that Miami might be able to beat them and win that game. It was only a 3-point spread, apparently, as far as gambling is concerned. And then,
yeah, I heard that too.
I don't know where that came from. Cleveland is just rolling. They're playing the best basketball of the season. Miami, granted, was also they beat Boston, they beat Minnesota. They're coming off some nice wins, but they were going to lose to the Cavaliers at home. I mean, I wasn't that confident.
I don't know. I feel like part of that though is LeBron generally doesn't play very well against the Heat since leaving, and I think another part is that, like, as much as I hate to say it, the Heat have been struggling against worse teams more than they have against better teams. So I feel like that kind of, you know, people's mindset was like, well, you know, we're struggling because look at how they did against the Bulls. That should have been a blowout. And, you know, it was like a struggle the whole time. So the flip side of that is like, well, maybe they're going to play better, you know, against a better team. But my concern, I guess, is that the whole first quarter issue, because they're relying on the three ball so much, I feel like that skill set takes a while to warm up. And, you know, which is fine because once they get hot, they get hot. But the problem is if that's all they're relying on and they're not getting hot quick enough, then they're just, you know, like I said, playing catch up the whole time. And that's not going to work.
You mentioned LeBron. He only played 28 minutes because he got ejected for the first time in his career. That was fun. But
that was fun. I was screaming at the top of my lungs when that happened.
I
couldn't believe that ref really had the balls to do that.
I was surprised. And when the reporters asked him after the game about it, he was like, I didn't like how he was talking to me. And he aggressively came towards me. And so I ejected him. I mean, I don't think he had the balls to do it. I think he was legitimately scared for his life. And he was like, get this man out of here.
You might have a point there. Especially because they were up by so much at that point, you know, like for LeBron even to make that big of a deal over, you know, whatever, a call that he thought was bad.
The best part was, about it the whole was the thing shock was on LeBron's surprising. Face because it was the first, it's never happened to him. He was like, you threw me out of the game? I'm LeBron James. Like, he couldn't believe it. The shock on his face was priceless.
I couldn't believe it either. It was a moment to see.
But LeBron only, you know, gets ejected after 28 minutes. LeBron's obviously the best player on the court. He's the best player in the league still, which is incredible. But
absolutely.
What stood out to me was just that Kevin Love, who gets crapped on all the time, he was also the best player on the court. You know, like, the Heat don't have anybody as good as Kevin Love, and I think a lot of Heat fans are going to hate me for saying that, but it's true. Like, Kevin Love, the way he played last night, and the way he's been playing a lot this season, 10 of 16 from the field, 4 of 8 from three-point range, 9 rebounds, 38 points. Nobody for the Heat has scored 38 points this season. Kevin Love is still, his ceiling is higher than anybody else's on the Heat right now. And so that's why I didn't have big expectations going into that game. I expected them to lose. I'm actually proud of the team for keeping it within 11 points. I don't know.
Kevin Love is one of those players that, like, I forget about or I don't really understand the hype over until I see him play. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, he's really good. And then I go back to being like, what about Kevin Love? Why are we still talking about him? And I mean, it's kind of sad because I feel like that's like a lot of people I've talked to have the same opinion. But then, you know, you see a performance like that and you're like, oh, OK, now I get the hype.
All right, next, we're going to talk about Bam Adebayo's impressive game and Dwayne Wade catching up with UD. But first, listen up, fantasy basketball fans. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try my new favorite fantasy app. It's called Draft. It's daily fantasy basketball, but it's not like the other guys. Draft was launched in 2014 with the idea that the draft is the best part of playing fantasy. The only problem, though, is that you only get to draft once in your season-long leagues, and traditional daily fantasy is dominated by sharks who are gaming the system, and that can be intimidating. Not with Draft. On Draft, you play with a live snake draft, there's no salary cap, and with other people, live. Plus, there's no multi-entry or player overlap, so you don't have to worry about fantasy sharks gaming the system. Draft is designed to make fantasy sports simple, fair, and fun. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just one night. Pick a draft and begin. Drafts start every couple of minutes, so you can join one right now, or as soon as you're done listening to this podcast. Here's my favorite part. After the draft, there's little to no lineup management. You just set it and forget it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. And of course, you play for cash. Drafts start from just $1, and they go up from there, so there's a draft for everybody. Again, no salary cap, live snake drafts, no losses because you forgot to make a sub for an injured player, and no fantasy sharks. Draft leans into what is the best part of fantasy sports, and you can play whenever you want. Join Draft today. Download the app, just search Draft in your app store, and join a game in minutes, or play right from your computer on draft.com. Locked On Heat has a special draft league set up already. $5 entry. There's only 5 more spots available from the last time I checked. I'm in it, so you could play with me for tonight's slate of games, including Heat vs. Knicks and everything else that's happening. For a limited time, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOHEAT and play a free game to win real money by using the promo code LOHEAT on your first deposit. All right. We need to talk about the silver lining from last night's game, and that was the play of Bam Adebayo. Whiteside was ineffective against Kevin Love. Kelly Olynyk picked up three fouls in the first 4.5 minutes, and then in enters Bam Adebayo in the first half. He went 7 of 7 from the field, scored a season-high 19 points. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists. He had a block, didn't turn the ball over, didn't pick up a foul, and he was a remarkable plus 13 in the box score despite Miami getting blown out, which is that's just remarkable. I know you were impressed. I was following you on Twitter, Alana. I know you were impressed from what you saw from Bam.
Yeah, I was so excited to see him out there. And I feel like if this doesn't make Spo give him consistent minutes, I really don't know like what it's going to take. I think I read something
about
him being like the second player in history.
I want to talk about that because a lot of people have been wondering about the consistent minutes. And the only reason Bam came into this game was because Whiteside was just bad, and because Kelly Olynyk, he picked up 3 fouls in 4.5 minutes. And that was the only reason we even saw Bam Adebayo. I thought that we may have seen Bam at the end of that Chicago Bulls game. I thought we were about to see him in the fourth quarter because Kelly Olynyk was giving up a lot of drives to the Bulls to the rim. And then right in the middle of the fourth quarter, they were just kind of getting whatever they wanted. And then at credit to Olynyk, he tightened up whatever it was he needed to do. And and those drives stopped. He stopped allowing them so easily. I thought if he kept kind of letting those go, Spo might have put Bam in and gave him some run at the end of the game. But that's the only reason we saw consistent minutes. I don't think we're going to see more consistent minutes unless there is a dramatic change to the rotation or to the roster, you know?
I really don't understand why, though, because especially I know people don't really want to talk about it, but Whiteside's banged up. You can see it on his face. You can see it, like, you know, I was at the Bulls game. I was very close to their bench. He was icing. He was putting, you know, those electrodes on his knee. Like, every second he could, he was taking care of that knee. He's not 100%. Like, forget about the lack of effort. So I don't really understand why we're going to, you know, ignore the obvious answer to giving Hassan a little bit of time to recover. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. He hasn't done anything that would, you know, make me think that Spo doesn't trust him yet.
So I can see that. I think while Whiteside's banged up, I understand playing Bam more minutes, and he should. I agree with you 100%. He should. But long term, if we want to get this guy on the court, and Hassan Whiteside's healthy and Kelly Olynyk is healthy, I don't see where it comes from. Because we know Spoelstra's not playing Olynyk and Whiteside together. For whatever reason, that's not happening. So you can just, that's not even an option. If you play Whiteside 30 to 33 minutes a game, which is right around his average, and he's healthy, that only allows 15 to 18 minutes a game for Kelly Olynyk at center. So I don't know where Bam fits in at that point. I don't know if you play Bam at power forward, which also doesn't make much sense because you have Winslow and James Johnson there. I just don't know where you play him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I guess though it's early enough in the season to kind of still, I mean, experiment a little bit. I feel like I understand potentially not wanting to play KO and Whiteside together, but I feel like Olynyk might be nice next to Bam. Like, I feel like they're more complimentary of, you know, each other rather than having Whiteside and KO out there.
Both off the bench.
So
together.
I don't. Yeah, and, you know, even like what you were saying, even in so-called garbage time or whatever, in terms of not even just blowouts, but in terms of, you know, if someone's in foul trouble and you need just a little bit of relief, like, why not put him in? I was expecting him to come in the Chicago game too, actually, and I was like yelling at Spo to put him in, but it was obvious, like, Bam had absolutely no expectation to even come in. Like, he was flat out, like, he was eating on the bench, like, he knew there was no way he was playing that game. So clearly there's something worked out there where, you know, he knows that he's not, unless there's a circumstance like with the Cavs, he's not gonna get any tick.
I'll say this though, on the show I've been saying a lot, Bam doesn't have to play. We get mailbag questions all the time about why isn't Bam playing, and it's all for these reasons. I mean, you've got Whiteside and Olynyk, that's basically why Bam's not playing. But after that game, I was really impressed by what I saw. I mean, he had a really nice series against LeBron James where he forced LeBron into a difficult shot. He was all over the floor. He 7 of 7 from the field, and it wasn't all dunks. He had like a really nice dribble, drive, step back, fadeaway at some point. I mean, he can move. This guy can move in ways that Whiteside can't, even when Whiteside's healthy. This is not just because Whiteside's banged up. He is down the floor quickly.
No, absolutely.
I mean, this guy, I love everything I'm seeing from him. And look, if he hypothetically were to get more consistent minutes, he would have ups and downs. He's a rookie. He's not going to be plus 13 in the box score every night, but I am of the opinion that he needs to be playing a little bit more. I just, like I said, I don't know where you play him. I don't know if it's just special situations like this, because Whiteside and Olynyk, they do pick up a lot of fouls. There are going to be a lot of situations like that Cavaliers game where those guys pick up fouls and Bam's going to have to get some minutes. And that's probably realistically what we're looking at for this season. So I want to talk a little bit about UD and Wade, though, at the end of that game. They exchanged jerseys. Dwayne Wade's Cavaliers number 9 for Udonis Haslam. A touching moment caught by the NBA TV cameras. I just want to know emotionally how you were feeling during that.
I've moved past missing Wade, and it makes me sad that my own emotions are at that point. But I don't know. I just feel like since he's left the Heat, he's just been in a hot whirlwind of just like a career mess. Like the Bulls was just a complete joke. Now he's coming off the bench. I understand that people are applauding him because, you know, he wants to do better for the Cavs. He wants to put himself in a situation where he's being, you know, less selfish about the team. But like, I don't know. It's great that he still has a good relationship. And it's not just with UD. You know, there were several moments after that game when he was even talking to Jay Rich and he was talking to JJ. And, you know, you can tell that the love is still there. But personally, like, I've just moved on. We're in a complete different era of Miami Heat basketball. So, I don't know. For me, it didn't really, like, I think I was just too pissed about losing to really have any effect on me.
It hit me. I don't know. After the game, even Wade tweeted his appreciation for the Heat. I mean, there's still something there. I don't believe there's some conspiracy. Oh, it's just a PR move. Like, he just doesn't want it to look like he left them. He's still playing that game that Riley got rid of him. Blah, blah, blah. I don't believe that. I think there's still love there. I still think there's love from the Heat to Wade. I just think it was weird and nuanced how everything went down. But I don't think that's what fans want to hear. But I think that's the truth. I think that's the case. And afterwards, it's weird seeing him. It's weird seeing him not wearing number 3. It is a little bit weird.
Yeah,
that
still gets me.
Yeah, like at least when he was in Chicago, he was still wearing red and black mostly, and wearing number 3. So it was a little.
And it is technically his hometown.
Yeah,
and there was that connection. And you know, now it's just so far removed.
Yeah, and I don't fault him for going to the Cavs. Look, you want to play with LeBron, you want to try to win a ring. I get it. Like, I'm fine with it. Where
absolutely,
else is he
no, absolutely.
Go? But you know, there's still love between him and Haslam, and that's pretty cool. And that's when, you know, I know that, you know, Heat Twitter, for example, likes to be petty and criticize Dwayne Wade and stuff. And I hear it, I get it, but also like, look. Haslam is like Mr. 305. Like, he is the Miami Heat. He is the Heat lifer. And if he can just still show some love to Dwayne Wade, just show him some love. Or be like Alana. Just, I don't care. I just, it doesn't matter. Like, that's cool that him and UD still get along. That's fine. I don't like the pettiness. I want that to all go away, because that part is the part that makes me sad, is just the hatred of Dwayne Wade by so many Heat fans, given the 13 years of awesome entertainment that we had. That was so great. That was so incredible. And being able to witness having the third best shooting guard in NBA history play for our team, that was just really cool. And I don't want that to be like ruined in it for these last couple years with just irrational and ridiculous spite. It just doesn't make
sense. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I don't like the pettiness. And, you know, I know it's not the same, but even the way that people turn on LeBron when he left, I'm still a LeBron fan.
He's with you.
My guy. Do I care more about the Heat winning than I do him? Absolutely. I was cheering at the top of my lungs when he got ejected, because that, you know, could have given us a chance to come back. And that's kind of how I feel about Wade. I wish him only the best. You know, I am so appreciative of everything he did. I will never stop loving him, but at this point, like, the Heat have just become an entirely different priority to me. And like I said, I think we've reached a new era where it's like, we can leave that behind. He's doing something else. Maybe he'll come back. Maybe he'll retire on like a one-day contract. But for now, you know, I don't, to be petty against him is just kind of, it's just, it's immature to me, to be honest.
I agree. All right. Coming up is the debut of Alana's special segment. But first, a quick reminder to make sure that you are subscribed to Locked On Heat on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, and to leave us a review on iTunes to help other Heat fans discover the show. Also, be sure to check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA and NFL team, plus Locked On Fantasy Basketball, not a bad thing to use if you're playing on draft, the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. All right, Alana, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
So, we teased it the last time you were on. I asked you about some of your style opinions going on in the NBA, because as much as the NBA is a basketball league, it is also a fashion league. It is just it is a 365,
it's too bad David's not here. He would,
yeah, David loves this
he
part.
He would absolutely hate this. Yeah.
So we're debuting a new segment. It's Alana's Style Corner. This is your chance. I'm going to clear out. This is all you, Dion Waiters, isolation mode, Alana on style. What are some of the? So you prepared some notes. I understand.
I did. I do. Yes.
So let's just start. Let's go for it. What was your what's your first style thing that you want to talk about?
Well, my first thing that I wanted to touch upon is the fact that Jay Rich brought the braids back, which I did not expect, because from everything I was seeing, you know, and I think I mentioned this last time, he and Winslow apparently had some pact that they would be rocking the same hairstyles for the rest of the season and would be like switching it up every few months, and all of a sudden the braids are back, which I know you're a fan of. Yes. I'm a fan of. He's been getting a lot of hate for them, which I still don't really understand, but I hope he keeps it. I feel like it's like it's different, you know, like I'm sick of the same old. I feel like it suits his personality really well. And I was happy to see, and, you know, as much as I liked the whole cute Rook 1, Rook 2 matching, I feel like, you know, he should just make braids his thing. Like, that should just be his thing moving forward. So I was really excited to see that. And then I guess my other thing that I wanted to talk
about. I want to comment on the braids for a second.
Go ahead.
I agree. Look, him, Brandon Ingram on the Lakers, he's got the braids.
Yep.
The long braids, like, I'm totally in on them. I agree with you. We saw for a long time it was just buzz cuts, right? And then some guys started doing like the high fade Nick Young type thing. And so you started seeing that go around. I know like Giannis, that's what he's rocking right now too. But the braids, I don't know. Like Josh Richardson and Ingram aren't quite good enough to get something going, I think. If one of them were to make maybe an all-star game or something, maybe it would catch on a little bit more. But what was your next thing?
My next thing was, I feel like fitted sweatsuits are like all the rage, and I'm so about that. Like, we've moved away from the whole leather pants, crazy top. Like, Russell Westbrook, who I love, and I'm totally, anything he does fashion-wise, I'm just like going to back up. But, you know, he went through this whole phase of kind of trying to wear the craziest combinations of like colors, materials, fabrics that you could think of. And now I just feel like the fitted sweatsuits, like, even just the Nike ones with, you know, some just fresh sneakers. And then I feel like on top of that, the whole, like, chain thing is coming back. Mm-hmm. Not as big as maybe in the 90s, but, like, the whole sweatsuit thing, I'm so about that. Because it's just so classic and clean.
Yeah. I mean, look, I was covering Kings Bucks last night. And Giannis, you know, who is, I think, agreed to a Nike deal of some sort. He was rocking an all-gray fitted sweatsuit after the game. All-gray Nike with I couldn't make out what kind of shoes he was wearing, but they were like these black Nike kicks that he had on, and it's coming back. I'm in. I'm on it. So,
and also I feel like JJ is really good at like mixing between the sweatsuit and then just an extra something. Like, I feel like I saw on Instagram or something he was rocking like a red one, and then he threw on a leather jacket and like a nice old chain with it, and I'm like, that's all you need. It's just so simple. But it looked good, and I'm really about that. Like, I'm done with the whole, like, crazy patterns, bright colors. Like, let's just leave that behind.
Athleisure. Athleisure at its finest. What do you... Have we talked about James Johnson's yellow shoes?
We have not.
What's your opinion on the yellow shoes? David and I... David likes them.
You don't like them?
I don't like them only because I find them distracting. Like, I can't stop looking at them, and I really need to be paying more attention to what's going on in the game. That's the only reason I don't like them.
No, I like them. I feel like, though, and this is just super detailed, they're not really the same Miami yellow, though, which
You're
that
right.
irks me a little bit.
Yes, that's 100%
So I
correct.
don't like that clash. And it's sometimes, it depending on the jerseys they're wearing, it doesn't bother me as much. But like when it clashes, I'm just like, I feel like you could have just customed them to your, your team color. Didn't he give them to someone else, though, to wear? Or like someone else started wearing them
Bam.
at one
Bam was
point? Was
wearing
it
them for a
Bam?
little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they both, I think they both got it from Kevin Durant, who's been wearing his KD custom yellows in Warriors games, which makes sense because those KD yellows are the Warriors yellow. You're right. I don't like that they're not the Heat yellow. James Johnson, get the right yellow. Go get your custom pair, man. You're an NBA player. Be better than this.
I know, right? Like, it's your time to shine. You just signed a new contract. Step it up.
What's your next one?
That's about all I
Oh,
have.
that's all.
I
Okay.
mean, I already briefly mentioned the jewelry, but I will say I'm glad that the jewelry is coming back on like a more subtle way than it used to. Like, not, we don't have like the five chain look going on. It's like that clean one chain and then maybe like a nice diamond earring. I'm good with that and mixing with athleisure. I feel like the like classiness of the jewelry kind of balances out the gym look.
I like when when players kind of find a uniform or a formula that they stick with. And right now, LeBron, he's doing the black hoodie under the leather jacket thing and just like assorted pants, I guess. And so he's finding out. He kind of hit this formula. I don't think he's doing the hat quite as much, the weird gallon hat thing so much, the Cam Newton
Yeah,
hat.
I'm fine with hats just like leaving and not coming back.
Yeah.
Cam Newton had a crazy hat on. I know this is a different league, but I was watching some game. I think it was last week. The hat Cam Newton had on in his presser, I was just like, I can't even take you seriously. Like, there's levels of like crazy fashion, and once you just reached just too high of a level, it's just like downhill. Like, you need to throw that away and burn it. I'm not.
You need to be prepared. Either if you're gonna wear the hat, be prepared to have an outfit that is sans hat in case you lose the game, because you look ridiculous if you lose. And if,
Right.
but my fav I think the best option is to just go with an outfit that is appropriate for a win and it's appropriate for a loss. And I don't want to sound like an ESPN talking head, like you can't wear a 5 gallon hat if you lose. Like I know that usually doesn't matter, but you do look ridiculous sitting in a press conference or talking to reporters with this crazy, outlandish, like happy outfit, like this Pharrell happy hat thing that you've got going on. But and you lost the game. So you need either you have two outfits prepared, and if you're on the road, that might be hard. So just have whatever outfit is post game, that should be appropriate for either a win or a loss. That's all I'm saying. That's my opinion.
And I feel like that's really easy if they would just wear simple outfits and have the hat be the standout. But what these guys do is have like these super intricate outfits and then the hat on top of it. So it's like if you took the hat off, you'd still be fine. But instead, they just decide to wear the whole thing. And it's too much for me. I'm a simple girl. I can't. It's too
Fitted
much.
sweatsuits. That's all we need. All right, that was
Fitted sweatsuit.
the debut of Alana's Style Corner. Let us know what you think about that. Thank you to Draft. Use the promo code LO Heat. Get a free entry after you've made your first deposit. Check out our Twitter account at Locked On Heat for instructions of how to join our league and play against me during tonight's games. That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. You can send mailbag questions for next week and inquire about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play to get podcasts automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Theme song is by CeeLo Keys. Outro music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, Alana.
Thanks for having me.